This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He's Anthony Kiedis, and he's in the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and he's next.
And now, from the legendary Studio B, so you're in Seattle with Gregor.
Look, I was pretty dang nervous to be talking to a guy whose songs I was taping onto a cassette off of the radio when I was like 12 back in the 90s. Yes, I'm old. Every 2 hours for the last like 20 years, one of his songs has played on the radio somewhere in this city and others across the country, even across the world. They've done pretty okay for themselves, those Red Hot Chili Peppers, despite whatever efforts and troubles they had to get there. It's been pretty incredible. So to be lurking around underneath Key Arena looking for the right room to sit down and talk to a guy like Anthony Kiedis, whoop, whoop, the nerves.
I'm the exact right age where we learned about rock and roll from under the bridge. I didn't know what it meant at the time, but you know, we were taping it off the radio, had the double cassette tape taping back to back so we could get it over and over and hear it, and had a huge impact. One, I'll always remember your rippling pecs running towards the camera on the video.
Why, thank you.
The video is iconic for 10 other reasons, too. Maybe 50, who knows? It's like one of those things that sticks in my mind from that age.
Yeah, directed by a great Northwesterner. Gus Van Sant.
Oh, yeah. I just learned something
there
new.
There you go.
And I'm in my fourth phase, I guess, of the Chili Peppers. It speaks volumes of a group to stay musically relevant, not on the backs of like one album, but through a process of working hard to always find like another gear and remaining quintessentially still your same sound while exploring. I think it's super cool. I'm joined by the mouthpiece and unforgettable nipples of Anthony Kiedis.
Phase four, huh? I think I'm in phase 44.
Really?
Of the RHCP, yeah.
For me, it's like I can think of different times we've popped back up in my life, whether it was like from a new album or some, I meet someone new, and there's been like four different times I can think of it, but you're a little closer to the project than I am, I'd say.
A little bit. yeah, I don't know about the, if you want me to respond to the maintaining of relevance thing.
Well, I mean, I think you're, that's fascinating that you... It never feels like you're trying to stay relevant. It always feels the same Red Hot Chili Peppers, but with something new, with a different approach, with a new take.
I think it helps to be unsuccessful for many, many years before you become successful.
Sure.
Gives you an appropriate foundation in relevance, because it really didn't matter to us before we became so-called relevant, to the masses anyways. So it doesn't matter that much post as well. You know, we had so many years out there making records where it was just for fun and for free and for clubs and for dance and just doing our thing, that when we finally did, you know, become known to the world, it was like, okay, that's fine too, but we were pretty good even without it. So
seems like you have to kind of stay in the moment, just appreciate
it. Stay in the moment, yeah.
I mean, now you're crushing giant venues. You got a sold out Key Arena here tonight.
Mm.
And do you miss the getting out the front and doing the clubs?
I do. I do. I actually was talking to my friend about that. I'm not going to turn down the Key Arena. It's a fine venue. But there was a time when we would show up to cities and you never knew what the place was going to be like. They were all different. The clubs were different. The auditoriums were different. Sometimes you play a school. Sometimes you play like a little civic center or whatever. And everyone has a different vibe and a different size and shape. And, you know, you would actually be a little more dialed into the people that were coming because you'd drive by and you'd see them all hanging out front. And arenas are all pretty similar. You know, wherever you go, arena's an arena.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I miss it. I miss it.
But you think there'll ever be an opportunity for the Chili Peppers to play a few small things?
We play small things all the time, cool. But not as a regular occurrence, just as odds and ends. You know, we're going to Venice in April, to Venice, Italy, to play an art opening for a friend of ours who's an artist, it's a 400 seat club in the middle of Venice, Italy, and we're like, yeah, we'll go play your art opening. And you know, we do all kinds of little benefits for our music school that we have down in Silver Lake, and those are warehouses and whatnot. So
that must be fun to keep it like to. As a flashback to what it maybe used to be, that hustle that you were just talking about.
We still have a little bit of we'll play anywhere, anytime to us.
I love that.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't really know much about you as a character.
Thank goodness.
I know about you from like your showmanship on stage and stuff and like from years and years of watching that. I guess I don't know what we would have in common, and I thought I was like really racking my brain about this.
Coffee. We both drink coffee.
Yeah, I love coffee.
Yeah.
What were you like as a kid? We were both kids at one point. What kind of kid were you?
I was a kid who had a long way to go to discover an ethical code. Like, I came into this world without an ethical code, and it took me years to find it. But when I finally found it, it stuck. But I was a little bit of a rabble-rouser, I would say. Just, who knows, by nature, by fact that I came from a divorced family, it was just in my nature to seek trouble. And that kind of shaped me until I realized that there were other ways to exercise your angst.
You speak a sexy creature. Like, it seems like you've probably had a fun time being in a rock band and touring the world and meeting different people and women and stuff. If you met that cosmic person that got you to settle down, would a lot of the things that we hear in your songs, and would that all kind of like fizzle out? Would you become a different? Would your rock and roll suffer if you ever became?
I think everybody's rock and roll suffers when they become comfortable and complacent and a little too cozy. For the most part, that seems to be the way of great songwriters. Once they get too rich and comfortable and laid back or whatever, it's very hard to have something to write about. You sort of lose touch with the pulse of life in the street and stuff that is struggling and interesting. And I'm sure that's happened to me to some degree. But it also, you know, heartbreak and, you know, going from cozy to, you know, back into the doghouse again, there's something beautiful about that as well. So, yeah. Falling in love, inspiring, breaking up, inspiring, pain, always inspiring, struggle, inspiring, being too sedentary and comfortable out there in your mansion somewhere, not so inspiring. Yeah. I mean, I've looked at some of my favorite songwriters ever, and I'm like, why can't they write good music anymore? They're way more talented than I'll ever be, and yet that's just not flowing. And I think you need some discomfort to have something to write about.
What about when you mix a kid into this? I'm about to be a dad myself, and so I see a guy that waited later in life to have a kid. You had a lot of success by that point, and as you previously said, some struggle to get there. How did that change your life? Were you worried about settling down a little bit when you had another creature that you were worried for?
No, I wasn't so worried. The timing was great for me because we had just come off of a tour for Stadium Arcadium, and our guitar player quit, bless his heart. It was just he wanted to go do other things, and so I knew that I was looking at about 3 years off. And that's when my son was born, and I didn't think twice about it. But, and, you know, people, I think it's a misconception to think that a child will slow you down. I think it gives you even more ammo, more energy, more, you know, zeal for life. And that's been my experience. And when I look at other artists and people say, oh, no, if they have a kid, you know, how they're going to manage. But it's just, it's better. It's even better with a kid. It adds to it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Another dimension. That's rad. Do you consider yourself a fun guy?
A fun guy. I have my moments, but I can't say that I'm fun all of the time. Sometimes I'm definitely the opposite of fun.
You seem a little mischievous to me.
But, you know, I do have my gloriously fun moments here and there, but it's hard to string them together some days.
How about like a band practice, a rehearsal, writing songs? What's
I love it.
What's that vibe like? Are you guys goofing off? Are you having fun? Is it serious? Is it all those things?
It's always been all those things. You know, I think we're all very excited to show up to band practice and see what the possibilities are, to see what Josh has been working on that morning, or, you know, what weird baseline Flea has, or what's going to happen if we don't say anything and we just plug in and start making noise. I mean, it's pretty lovely. I would say there is some merry pranksterism still alive in the band.
That's what I love to hear. That's so cool. I feel like the fear is something that powers a lot of insecurities, and those insecurities can oftentimes like lead to some pretty cool art, some expression. What are you afraid of, if anything?
Well, so when you have a kid, I think a lot of fears of failing in whatever way, fear of losing that which you have or not gaining that which you want, kind of, you know, gets a little bit, what's the trans word I'm looking for? It gets transposed onto the child. Like, now I just, and I want my son to be healthy. And so I have fear that, you know, he'll ever have any trouble or get hurt or get bullied or get beat up or all these things that are pretty normal about life that we all survive and learn our lessons from. My fears are more for him now because I just love him so much. I can't bear the thought of him suffering in any way, even though clearly he's not going to get anywhere without a little suffering along the way.
Yeah, we all have to face that.
Yeah, you know, fears do create insecurities, but they also, you know, they feed adventure. Like, I'm going to go see what happens when I surf on a day that's way too big for me. And I know that I'm going to get held down. I know that it's going to be dicey, but.
What kind of fitness things you do, speaking of surfing? Are you, like, you're fitness? Still in great shape, yeah. Like,
fitness?
Are you a meditator? Are you a martial artist? Are you a surfer? Like, what's your?
Well, I do surfing.
Yeah.
And dancing and wrestling my son.
Cool.
That's kind of my trifecta there. I'm not too good with the more traditional fitness regimes, but, you know, running and surfing and kicking and things like that.
That's awesome, man. Living, just being wild a little bit.
The water's nice. Yeah.
So the ocean is sunny, nice. Southern California sounds real nice right
anywhere,
now.
Anywhere, I'd go surfing right out here if you had waves.
Someone get some waves stacked.
You don't have waves here. You're too protected.
I saw a video where there was people dressed, they wear mermaid legs, and they're out in the waters off the coast of just in the Puget Sound and stuff doing that.
Sweet.
That'd be mermen? I wonder if they do that. There aren't a lot of bands that are rock bands of your magnitude that are crushing it still, selling out arenas. I see a lot more electronic music. Do you think there's still an appetite for kids to be writing and making rock music? Am I off base by thinking that there's not a lot of that?
I think there's an appetite. It might be a little bit dormant at the moment. It's hard for me to imagine that it would ever go away because it's such a fun thing to do, to make rock music. And I get that there's always going to be evolution, and thank God, you know, that it's not still the same rock music that it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 15. You know, watching music change is one of the most amazing things.
Yeah, but you're still quintessentially the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You put on a Red Hot Chili Peppers song, it might be different, it might be changed, but it's still there's still that root to it.
Yeah, we have our roots, but I'm just talking about the landscape in general.
Cool.
And I feel like there will be people out there that gravitate towards guitars and drums and basses and garages and microphones and want to do that. I can't see it dying. It might not be the, you know, the kind of spearhead of today's sound, but I think it'll always be there, and there'll always be, you know, certain generations bringing a freshness to that rock and roll party. But, you know, thank God that it becomes electronic or whatever else it's going to become.
Better to change than become stagnant, I suppose,
yeah,
like we talked about.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Something very important. What's your favorite dog?
Favorite dog?
Yeah.
Like an individual or a breed?
Yes.
What? Which? Whatever? My favorite dog? Well, I'm pretty fond of the Rhodesian Ridgeback.
Yeah. With the crinkly backs when they get
the
a little angry.
Backs, yes. But, I mean, I also never met a dog I didn't like. So...
the best possible answer.
Yeah.
I have a hard time imagining this, but when's the last time you went to Target?
It has been a minute, but I take these summer holidays in Michigan with my family, and it's pretty almost every day we'll end up in something Target-like. It could be a Walmart. It could be a Meijer's Thrifty Acres. It could be a Target, something like that.
Sure.
Just kind of for the cultural experience of being in the middle of America and strolling through these vast compounds of products and people and weirdness. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
You've been a delight. Thanks for taking the time.
Why Target? Why?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I was just trying to, what's that?
Promotion, right?
Yeah, no. this interview sponsored by Target. It's not.
Yeah, no. It's fun in the summer to go to those big weird places.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Of course.
You've been listening to So You're in Seattle with Gregor. Follow him on Twitter at HeyGregor. Find more episodes online at SoYou'reInSeattle.com. So You're in Seattle is a Burrito Butt production.
Yeah, you're a good dog, Chowder.